So today is the initiation ceremony for the young and old, new and seasoned devotees. When we come to Krishna consciousness, this is always comes to mind, our initiation. It's a time of making a solid commitment to the practices of Krishna consciousness, and a time to reflect tonight before we do this, that this is a very special time. I was explaining, I can't remember where I've been, so many places and so many talks, that when the living entity who has been wandering in this material universe for countless lifetimes, in countless different circumstances, comes to the point of surrendering their lives to Guru and Krishna, it's a very, very special moment. Because it's so rare in this world. When I was a new devotee, I don't hear it so much now. But in the beginning, we heard that to find or to be interested, to find a guru, and to actually find one, is like the Pacific Ocean, and there's one log of a board floating on the ocean. It has a little hole in it called a knot hole, something like that. And in that ocean, there's only one turtle. And the chances of coming in contact with the bona fide spiritual master is the same chances as that turtle surfacing in the vast ocean and poking its head through that little hole in the board of log. So you're in moment in this world. We have many, many experiences in this world. Last week we did initiations in Dallas. And we discussed many things. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we are carrying with us unlimited, practically, experiences which we had throughout many lifetimes. And we have used it all up. Now we're committed to something different. A chance to advance spiritually. This spiritual sojourn, this spiritual journey, to my understanding, begins with the simple act of some devotion service. And then it grows and grows to the point where one has a little faith through this initiation. Once that faith grows, then one comes to the point of saying that now I'm ready to make commitments. Last week I mentioned that on the way to the chiropractor, there's a billboard for the Marines. And it says, we do not accept applications, we only accept commitments. So we, in the Hare Krishna movement,
We do accept applications, and then we accept commitments. I gave the example last week that I want to apply to the school or the University of Islam. And then, after showing the GPA, God point average, then one is considered for enrollment. So tonight there are several devotees here who have or are going to be accepted into the university. And then the commitment is solidified 100%. So within this process, these first initiates are going to take vows, and there's only four. Well, there's many. But four prohibitions. No gambling, which is a pillar of fruitfulness. No intoxication, which is the pillar of austerity. No illicit sex, which is the pillar of cleanliness. And no... I just want to test me. No eating meat, fish, or eggs, which is the pillar of mercy. So our religious activities are upheld by these principles. So there has to be commitment. There has to be no question on breaking these principles. Because then the foundation or the pillars which will hold us up spiritually become fragile, cracked, broken, and then that what we are sitting upon becomes, how do you say it, off-kilter. And then, now you have the chance to influence. But as long as we remain fixed on these principles, then you have a chance. The other commitment is to chanting a certain amount of Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For those who still use clickers, it's 1,728 mantras. For those of you who use them. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we are instructed to avoid 10 offenses. Do the initiates know the 10 offenses? No. There's 10 offenses. First offense is to blaspheme devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. So we don't want to be critical of Vaishnavas. Tendency in this world is to find fault. I know I'm pretty expert at it. It's very easy. So we have to get that out. The second offense is to consider the names of demigods, which is Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu, Krishna. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master, or to consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures, or any scripture in concerns of the Vedic religion. The fifth offense to consider the glory of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. the sixth defense, simplest, is to give some mundane interpretation in the chanting of Hare Krishna. The seventh defense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. Because when you hear the glories of the potency of the Maha Mantra, and you think, I can just chant Hare Krishna once and go for it. That's an offense. We don't do that. The eighth offense is considered the chanting of Hare Krishna to be equal, similar to the auspicious ritualistic activities, which are mentioned in the Vedas. Ninth offense, oops. To give the preach the glory of the holy name to those who are faithless. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in chanting Hare Krishna and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions of the Sangha. And it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Now, it's described that this inattention is the root cause of all the others. We say Krishna consciousness. So Krishna conscious. Be conscious of what we're doing every moment. Again, I remember in New Delhi, we used to tell each other, always think that Srila Prabhupada is watching. Be aware. And be conscious about activities. And whether or not you're pleasing the spiritual master. Because by pleasing the Guru, one pleases Krishna. And when Krishna is happy, or pleased, then one gets the blessing. It comes in specific succession. It's not something that is some mystical, smoky, nameless. But it's a tangible experience where one moves forward in spiritual life. And as we do that, who are we talking to? Just like this body. I used to have a little body like that. Young. And it was full of so many different ideas and desires. Then it changed. 10 years later, or 10 seconds later, depending on how you want to judge time, another body. And it was full of desires. And then another one. Another one. And each time we have these eruptions inside, as devotees, we look towards Krishna for the protection. When I was 25, I had 25-year-old desires. Now I'm 62. I have 62-year-old desires. I get this magazine on lockers, canes, advertisements. They have me on the mailing list.
False teeth.
We can go on and on and on with this one. It's a thick catalog, it's about like that. So as you progress in life, realize that you won't always be the same. Things will change, but Krishna remains the constant. The constant shelter. And that shelter of Krishna is offered by the Lord. It's like a raincoat showering water on a forest fire. Sansara Bhava Nam. The shower of mercy comes from Krishna via Guru. So tonight you're going to make these vows. And I was thinking earlier today that I have to give Guru Bhakti to the Guru. I can give something to the house once in a while. So, my Guru Dakshin is this, that the Guru is the spiritual father, and I'm his brother. So that makes me your uncle. So if you ever have to say uncle, you know what that means in America? That means when you have to give up. You say uncle. If you need an uncle, my email is rtswami@gmail.com. Because sometimes it's a little hard to go with a father. Because I, Father who art in heaven, sometimes it's a little awesome. So sometimes it's easier to say, uncle, can you please help me? So that's my action to the Lord. And if you need an uncle, rtswami@gmail.com. And I'll pass the message on. Or whatever is necessary. So congratulations. Congratulations. Everyone who just graduated. Now he's graduating yesterday from college. His master's degree, and today he's graduating in spiritual life. Anyway.